In just a moment, we'll conclude with a prayer for our services this morning. And although the room is empty right now, it's encouraging to know that Christians are near. It really is. To know that they're close, maybe not physically as close as we'd like to be, but to be together in this place. And I'm really thankful for that. Especially at times like now, I'm thankful for that presence. I'm thankful for the encouragement. And I'm thankful to worship with a group of people that take the Lord's word seriously, that when things aren't convenient, there's worshiping that happens. Thankful for that. So today's another unusual day, in an unusual time. And if you're like me, I think right now it's really easy, and this was me last night trying to think of things for this, is it's easy to find yourself in a fog right now. I was talking to Leah this morning, the fact that I feel like, have you ever gone to see a movie in the middle of the day, maybe around lunchtime or something like that, and you're in a dark theater and you see something, and then you walk out and it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it feels like it should be the end of the day. Why is the sun out? Why does it look like this? And all the way back to your car, you kind of have that readjustment period. I feel like that's been this time right now. And I don't know about anybody else, but that's the way it feels to me. And so especially at times like this, especially for thinking like this, I'm very thankful for the clarity that God gives us in His Word. Because that's really our rock. That's really what we have to latch onto. And so I actually came across kind of an article that shared some of these thoughts, and there was an interesting perspective in that. That article was written by a Christian maybe about a year ago or something. But I thought it was really kind of helping me think about things in a little bit different way. And I keep looking over here because that's the only place where people are. But it is weird. Art was talking about that before. You notice in Matthew chapter 16, did you notice that Jesus describes two types of lives? He didn't give three. There's only two types of lives that he describes. About those whoever desires to save his life, and then whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And as Christians, we have to realize that this life is simply not worth saving in that context. It's not. Isn't that really, I think about our Psalms classes and how forward-looking, you know, the psalmist David was. And I think about Hebrews. That's really what Hebrews was saying, is don't you realize how much better Christ is? Don't you realize how much better all these things are? Why would you ever do anything but follow Christ? Over and over again, that message happens, that he's so much better. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, there's a second letter to the Corinthians. There's an interesting picture that kind of gets painted for the people, because the people there, they believe that they could be Christians, but they also still believe that they could act like Corinthians. I think that's the problem. They were trying to do both. They were trying to have their foot in both camps. And we say that to ourselves sometimes. Yes, I want to be part of Christ, but I want to still save my own life in the context of Matthew chapter 16. I want to still save myself. But it's interesting, if we listen to how Paul describes his life in Christ, Paul is very upfront with his suffering. Paul's very upfront with the struggles that he's having, but it's interesting. I never really noticed this before. You notice how quickly he follows that with something else in 2 Corinthians. If you look, wasn't thinking about looking at it this way, but I'll do it back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "For we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings." But right after, he says, "So through Christ we share abundantly in His comfort too." Later in chapter 4, he says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surprising power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Christ may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death is at work in us, but life in you. You notice that, you know, again, Paul didn't shy away from his own sufferings, his own things that were happening. But he was very quick to recognize God's blessing. In the same moment, in the same breath, he didn't deny them both. He had the suffering and he had this joy. He had these blessings that he didn't allow himself just to fixate on the one. And this, I think, is a powerful mental tool. It's a powerful mental thing. And I've been trying to challenge myself in the last couple of days or so to do that. When I think about something that gets me down, or I think about something that's a hardship or a trial, that I want to immediately follow that and purposely think about something that's a blessing from God, something that He has given us, that He's promised us, and all these things. And I think that perspective is what he has kind of bookend statements, I think Paul has here. And I want to put up verse 1 and verse 16, some verses right above this and some verses below this statement that he says. Verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." And then verse 16, he says it again after these statements. "So we do not lose heart. Through our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." And you know, in looking at these verses and thinking about that context that's actually here, I think I saw this maybe a little bit differently too, because I don't think in verse 16, when he says we see our outer self wasting away, I don't think he's talking about getting old, right? In this context, I don't think he's just talking about that kind of thing. This is all in the context of sufferings and persecutions and all those things. And he says, in the face of that, we don't lose heart. We don't turn away. And I think the reason he can say that is because although he's not shying away from the sufferings, he's always following that immediately with the blessings and recognizing those things. To the worldly, this is very different, right? To the worldly, they see the wasting away and they recognize those things. And what does the worldly do? They stockpile treasures of this life, right? Hold on to this life, to save this life in that way, in that context. To the Christian, this knowledge is something completely different. A different response comes from the Christian. We are to be renewed with these things. We are to not lose heart because we recognize, as Paul said at the beginning of those statements, because we recognize that the power belongs to God and not to us. That's really my message for this morning, is just for us to think about these things. That I hope these thoughts have been encouraging to you. And that I hope that each of us take a moment to remember the source of our blessings, to remember the blessings that God has given us. And as he told the Corinthians, to share abundantly in Christ's comfort with one another. Thank you for your time, and I hope to see everyone in person soon.